Well, good morning. I'm Jennifer Stanley. You guys can have a seat. So, are you ready?
Yes.
My number one song of my graduation year of high school. This is it right here. Yeah. It's not even a good song. Like, it's catchy, but I couldn't believe it. Something was going around on social media this week about the number one song on your 14th birthday or something, and it just got me curious and searching, and I could not believe that's the best that 1994 had to offer. That was it's really too bad. I feel like if the Bible had a greatest hits or a top 10 of themes, and then we had to sit around and come up with those, you know, think of them, guess them, whatever. I think we'd be quick to go to some of the ones we know are super important, like loving our neighbor and forgiveness and salvation and giving thanks, confession, the kingdom of God. And we would be right about all of those things. I'm sure that those are in the top 10 of biblical themes, but I fear that we would forget, that we would look over one of the Bible's most repeated, most often instructed themes, and that is praise. So it seems to me that praise is a high priority in the Bible and in our lives as Christians. It's translated praise. Just in the NIV, translated over 363 times, and more than 250 times, we are instructed to praise the Lord. And yet, it seems that in our culture, in our day, in the way that we live out our Christianity, that sometimes we sort of save our praise for Sunday morning, for the 20 minutes that we're singing here with Cliff, and you know, we just kind of feel like, well, we've checked that box. It's Sunday morning, check, check. But I want to challenge us that it's a higher priority than that. And so if I had to guess, if I had to surmise why we tend to overlook this, it's because I think that praise is too hard and praise is too easy. Let me tell you what I mean by that. So we really don't, we're not very familiar with just how to praise God, and it can feel kind of awkward. I mean, we come together, we sing songs with friends and strangers and people we've never met, and that can be a little weird if we're honest, and maybe you're not super into worship music, and so if you can survive the Sunday morning singing and hand-raising and all of that, you're maybe not seeking it out on the daily. Because praise, it's hard to figure out just what it is, how to do it, and how to do it 24/7, you know, outside of these four walls here. So it's kind of hard. And then on the other side of that coin, it's like, well, in the grand scheme of everything that Jesus taught us to do as followers, forgive people, love our neighbors, feed the hungry, clothe the poor, be born again. In the grand scheme, praise, is it really that important? So you see, praise is hard, and also praise can seem a little underrated, a little too easy. For those of you that have had any conversations with me over the past few months, I hope you know that teaching the Bible is a passion of mine that I can't talk about without smiling. I look forward to it so much, and I've just been so grateful and humbled to have the opportunity to teach here at Commonway this year. And I get the chance to teach three times this summer while Matt and Liz are on sabbatical. And I'm going to spend two of those three talking about the high priority of praise. And I tell you that because that's how important it is to me. And I want you to tune in and know that I believe praise changes things. I believe it changes us as people. I believe that it changes our walk with God. I believe that it is such a big deal and that it's too easily overlooked. And so that's what I chose to teach on for the next 2 weeks, because I know that it certainly has affected my life and my walk with Jesus. So, first of all, what is praise? For our discussion today, I just want to use the Oxford Dictionary definition. It's to express warm approval or admiration, express one's respect, gratitude towards a deity, especially in song. Now, if that one's a little too long for you to remember, you could just go with the Google Dictionary, and it just says to express warm approval or admiration. So that's a little bit of a shorter version. But because praise is a verb, it's really important we notice this word express. Praise is not something we think about or feel. It's actually something we express. And so I know some of you are in this same boat, or you have been, or you soon will be. I have a 15-year-old child and a 12-year-old child. And so I have this crazy task of figuring out when it's okay to express my warm approval to my children. Maybe I just haven't seen them for a while, or they did something super great, and I just want to just wrap them up and give them a big old hug and kiss. And, you know, sometimes that's okay with them, and sometimes maybe it's not. And so as a parent, you know, I'm kind of still figuring that out, although I really don't care if that's how I embarrass them. To be totally honest about it, I really don't care. But my point here is that warm affection, it's really not something about feeling. It's not something about thinking. It's something that we do. So to dig a little deeper, we often hear praise and worship expressed together, right? We go praise and worship. It's just kind of all one thing. And so the question is, are they really different? And my answer is, yes, they are. And they're very, very, very connected. So first, I want to talk about what praise and worship are not, okay? Somehow, in our culture, we got this idea that praise was happy, fast music, and worship was the slow, meaningful, deep lyric, right? And it's funny, because you'll hear people say, well, I want to do a praise song, or I want to do a worship song, and I just want to say, no! This is not how we are to think about these things. So I'm not sure how that happened exactly. Well, I am sure, actually, but we don't need to go into it. But let's just be the church that doesn't talk about it like that, okay? So to go a little deeper with praise, what praise is and what worship is, you know, praise can be given to anyone. God is not opposed to us praising our husbands or our kids or our dog. He's not opposed to that. Praise can be offered to anyone, but we are to offer our worship to God alone. Praise is us speaking to God, speaking aloud our warm admiration for who God is and what God's done. In worship, that conversation becomes a dialogue. And God is working and speaking with you. And maybe you're actually doing more listening than you are speaking in worship. Some people like to talk about praise being kind of the key and the door to the innermost rooms of worship. Like, you can't get there without this element of praise. In the Bible, we have very specific instructions for how to praise. Very specific. But for worship, it says, I want my people to worship in spirit and truth. So there's less specifics there. There's more of an attitude and a life and a heart space for worship. And yet praise, we do get some specific instruction. Okay, the difference in the root words for praise and for worship, praise requires expression. Worship, almost every time it's translated, it's translated bowing down, prostrating ourselves, like just getting humble before God. So there's that element of difference. And then maybe because I really like dessert or carbs or something, I was in this mood. But I just think of it like praise is a necessary ingredient and worship is the whole cake, if that helps. So they are different, and yet they're very, very connected. And you must have praise in a lifestyle of worship. And so we can learn a lot about praise in the Bible. If you just ran a search, I think I already said this, but you're going to come up, it's going to be translated, the word praise is going to be translated almost 400 times, like 360 sometimes. You'll find it if you just run a search looking for the word praise. But I want to look at two scenarios in the New Testament where we run into people who are praising God. And so the first one is Luke 18, 35 through 42. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What is happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when the people saw it, they also praised God. So this first element is, you know, when you see God at work in your life and in the lives of people around you, that is often, and I don't want to say easy, but that is often when we find ourselves saying, "Praise God, praise God." And, you know, that's a quick response. And the next time you kind of catch yourself saying, "Praise God," just want you to slow down a little bit and allow yourself to really feel that warm affection of praising God. So this one you would expect, right? When you see God at work, when he's doing great things, and it's either in your own life, answered prayer or unexpected blessing, or in someone else's life. That's very, very appropriate time to praise God. But I love what A.W. Tozer says. He says, perhaps it takes, hold on, a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now. Perhaps it takes a purer faith. In Psalm 42 and 43, there's this repeated chorus. It's a song, and there's like this chorus that they keep going back to. And the chorus of the psalm says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." As I was working on this teaching, I had a situation this week where my heart felt really downtrodden, downcast. And I had a conversation with somebody, and it was kind of like the, you know, when like you just get a word, but it feels like a punch in the gut. And that's kind of what happened. And I left the conversation, and I went to the car, and I had been working on this teaching. And so I thought, oh, I feel awful right now. What am I going to do? And I thought, oh, okay, I'll try it. I'll try what I'm, you know, studying, and I'll praise. And so I started reaching in my mind for all the reasons why I could praise God in that moment of feeling sad and hurt and just not good. And I praised God. I said, "God, you know, you know." That's the first thing. You know that this is going on. You know how I feel. And I praise you that you can identify with this. And I praise you, God, that you're bigger than this and that you can see the whole picture. And I praise you that you're a teacher because I know I'm going to learn from it. And I just kind of had to keep going and just make myself think of things to praise in that situation. And, you know, it doesn't like wipe the situation out. It doesn't make it so it never happened or anything like that. But I didn't feel alone anymore. I felt connected to God in that moment. I went from feeling really, really low and really, really sad and really alone to feeling like I've got a friend here. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I tell you that story to kind of lead into this next story that we find in Acts with Paul and Silas. Now, they've gotten themselves into some trouble, and this is where we're going to pick up the story in Acts 16, 22 through 25. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Singing hymns to God is a very specific form of praise. The translator from the Greek to the English could have substituted the word they were praying and praising. But it was a specific type of praise that they were engaged in. It was singing songs to God. And so we find Paul and Silas, two grown men. Now, Jennifer, why do you point out that it was two grown men? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in my experience as a worship leader, I find that sometimes, not always, sometimes, that it can be the grown men that are maybe the most skeptical, the most shy, the most tentative about singing songs out loud. Okay? And I'm not trying to like I'm not trying to overjudge or overcategorize or something like that. I just want you to know that I think this is a feeling that I've seen over and over, that sometimes these grown men can just have trouble with public displays of singing, okay? And so here we have Paul and Silas beaten within an inch of their life. Not just beaten with hand, but beaten with rod, okay? And that's terrible. And then they get into the inner cell, and they're fastened to the stocks, and that's an early torture device, and if you Google it, it's terrible. So here we have Paul and Silas. They're educated, traveled, grown men, and I also feel like when I read their stories, I think they're pretty tough. I think they're tough guys. I kind of see them like this. Like, they're not wimpy dudes. They go through a lot in their journey. But in this moment, they've been treated unfairly, they've been abused, they've been incarcerated, and their mission to share the story of Jesus feels like a total failure. And that's the moment we need to stay in, because they don't know what's about to happen. They don't know that there's about to be an earthquake that's going to save them and save the jailer. They don't know that God's going to rescue them from this situation. They are hurt, confused, afraid, disappointed, in a lot of pain. And yet they praise. In that moment, they had this choice and they chose to make a sacrifice of praise. It says, let us, in Hebrews 13, 15, you're seeing it here, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice costs us something we want for something better. Think about the sacrifice bunt on baseball team. The guy bunts the ball knowing he's going to get thrown out, but so that the other runners can advance. Or maybe you sacrifice a night of sleep because you've got a new baby at home, or you have an exam that's important to study for, or you're sitting up with a friend who's struggling. Sacrifice costs us what we want for something better. And a sacrifice of praise just reminds us that praise is not meant to be reserved for times in our life that are great and happy and going well. Yes, it's appropriate there. It is not to be reserved for that, because God is as worthy of praise in the dark as he is in the light. And that is a sacrifice of praise. I have a good friend named Adrian, and we were neighbors when we were first married a million years ago. And in 2011, she went on a mission trip to Haiti with her church, and while she was there, they were staying in an apartment, and they woke up to the sounds of automatic weapons and people trying to break into this apartment. Some Haitian men were just kind of up to no good, just causing trouble, and they sort of randomly picked this apartment complex that my friend Adrian and her team were staying in. The door to the front, there had been somebody sleeping on the porch because it was so hot, and he got beaten to a pulp before the other men with the guns showed up. And so miraculously, they were kind of able to pull him into the apartment to save him. But then that door, they never got it fully shut again because the gun head was in the door. And so they woke up with just the spray of gunfire and people attacking this apartment complex, trying to get in. When she told the story, she said she put herself into one of the wardrobe closets, you know, where they... The cabinets that sit on the side of the room, and she nestled down into the closet and she began to just pray because she thought, I'm not going to see my husband and my kids again. This is, you know, I don't know how I will survive this. And she said that the oddest thing happened, that she just became so thankful for the opportunity to have been her children's mother. This is really hard to hear, and I'm sorry, but it's kind of amazing what happens in those situations. And she just said she was praying and just like thanking God, like, thank you for letting me be their mother for all this time, and thank you that I know you're going to take care of them and their dreams and their hopes and for their future. And she's just in prayer and in prayer and in prayer. And she, it never even occurred to her to pray for herself. She thought, there's no way this is going to work out, so I'm not going to waste my time praying for me. I'm just going to pray for the people I love. But then the gunfire stopped, and they came out of hiding. And the next part of the story is what is relevant to our idea here of praise. And so I actually texted her this week and just said, okay, I want to make sure I get this right. And she texted me back, and she said, good morning, friend. I'm sure she was like, wow, okay, bringing that up again. I have not thought of those moments in so long. I do remember coming out of my hiding place and looking all around at the destruction of our apartment, all of the broken glass and the blood. Everything was out of place, and we started tending to the ones that were wounded. It was quiet and eerie, and then one of the women started to sing. And one by one, we all joined in. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. To worship you, my heart rejoice. Later in our text exchange, she says, even now, I have become weirdly grateful for the transformation that God unravels in my heart as I sometimes still work through that trauma. In that moment of total chaos and uncertainty and fear that those men would come back, what was going to happen next, they had no choice but just to let go and to praise God, to sing a song of warm affection for who God is above that circumstance, beyond that chaos, beyond that fear. They held on to that hope that they had, and that was worth praising God for. That was their song. So I hope that we've kind of talked about now, like, what it is and what it looks like in the Bible and in our own lives. But why? Why does it work this way? Why does it work? Why is it that we would have this command so many times in the Bible, over and over and over? And it boils down to this. And this here changed my heart, changed my experience with praise when I first landed on it. And I heard another worship leader, and I don't even remember their name, but I remember them talking about this. And it says in Psalm 22:3, "You, God, are holy, and you inhabit praise." Other translations will translate it, "You make your throne in praise." When we praise, God inhabits that. So if you feel far away from God, start praising him. He inhabits that space. When you feel powerless and helpless and frustrated, start praising God, because he makes his king's throne in that place. That's why we must praise God in all things, all the time. I also really appreciate Psalm 100, because we can enter his gates with thanksgiving, but we can enter his courts with praise. What comes first, the gate or the inner courts? Of course, the gate. The inner courts, the parts that get closer and closer and closer to our Savior, we enter that with praise. We enter that with praise. Okay, do I have you thinking about the high priority of praise? I hope so. It would be really unreasonable for me to spend this time talking about what praise is and what it looks like and why it works, why it happens that God would instruct us this way. It would be silly of me not to talk about the how, right? The how we are to praise. I mentioned it before. We have a lot of really specific instruction about how we are to praise God. And so Gus and Chris and I put together a little video, a little tutorial, if you will, on how it might feel when you're trying to follow God's commands for praise, okay? So take a look.
So, you're confused about what to do when you worship at church. Lots of us are. With the help of Chris here, let's try to interpret some Bible verses and see what they mean for us as worshipers. First off, Psalm 47:1. Clap your hands, all nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Psalm 95:6, come let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 149:3, let them praise his name with dancing? All right, Chris, Psalm 150, praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Chris, if you're here. This is why you always ask what we want you to do before you say yes to a video. No. So that's like obviously what everybody is afraid of, right? That they're just going to be as awkward as all that. And that's not it. That's missing the point. And so we're going to take a couple, few minutes now, and we're going to worship together. And then next week, when you come back, and I hope you'll all come back, that we're going to talk about the how, just the way that God has given us some tools to praise God. And it's not all awkward, like the quarter raise and the half and the touchdown. It's part of it, but it's not all that. So would you stand? And would you listen as I read from Psalm 104? And then would you let your heart just praise God in warm affection in song? Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent, and he lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. O Lord, my God, you are very great.